بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are on the second and the last day of the Seerah is the Answer workshop. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us with understanding the importance of the seerah, the first thing. Secondly, to help us with learning lessons from the seerah. And thirdly, with applying those lessons in our own lives. Now, the reason I'm saying this very specifically is because, unfortunately, what seems to happen with the Muslims over the years, and it keeps getting reinforced, which is that learning of deen, the Muslims seem to believe, consists of going to a class, sitting there, listening to whatever has happened, and then saying, mashallah, mashallah, and going home. The teachers also seem to think that their job is to come and sit there and expound, whether it is tafsir, whether it is hadith, whether it is whatever it is. So, if it's tafsir class, the teacher will sit there, he will do the tafsir of the Quran. His job is over. The hadith scholar will sit there and he will teach hadith. He will mention the hadith of Rasulullah and his job is over. Nobody, to the best of my knowledge, focuses on actually applying that learning in the life of the student. And that is exactly what Rasulullah did. Today, nobody does that. The job of the teacher is to talk, the job of the student is to shut up and listen, and that's it. Both of them have done their job, they've gone home. And that is why Islam never gets practiced. There are too many speakers. That's why I when people introduce me, I tell them very specifically, do not introduce me as an international speaker. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a speaker. A parrot is a speaker. I'm not a parrot. Right? No, seriously, what is the speaker? I mean, go and read the biographies and the introductions of the classical scholars. Find me one place where somebody described, you know, Malik bin Anas rahmatullahi alayhi as an international speaker. Or as a speaker. As a great khatib. As somebody who gave a great khutbah. Find me one place. Imam Ahmad. Who was a bigger scholar of hadith than Imam Ahmad? Find me one place where people said Imam Ahmad used to narrate hadith. People spoke about zuhud. They spoke about the worship of the classic of the Tabi'in and the Sahaba. They said they prayed so many rakat. This was the nature of their salah. When they were standing in salah, right? Hudayr bin, what's his name? Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu. He was praying in tahajjud. And he was outside in a camp and he had his horse, which was tethered near him. And he had his little son who was sleeping. And he was praying in tahajjud. And a cloud descended. And this cloud had flashing lights in it. So the horse got agitated. And when Usayd bin Hudayr, now he stopped recitation, the cloud became silent, the light stopped flashing, the horse also became calm. Then he continued his recitation, again the light started flashing in the cloud. Right? So, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu got worried. He thought that, you know, if he continues to recite, maybe this horse will break loose or something and maybe my child will get injured. So, he very quickly finished his recitation, but obviously it was an amazing kind of an experience. So, in the morning he went to the masjid and he narrated this incident to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was praying tahajjud and I was reciting Quran and this cloud descended and this is what happened. Rasulullah asked him, what surah were you reciting? He said, Surah Al-Kahf. Nabi said, That cloud was Malaika who had come down from the heavens to listen to you. And he said, Wallahi, if you had continued your recitation till the morning, the people of Medina would have seen the Malaika. Right? So what is being mentioned about this Sahabi? His amal, his action. Of how he did salah, his khushu in salah, the beauty of his recitation in salah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he narrates, and everybody knows this. I don't think there's one person in this room who has not heard this particular story about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. The problem is, we have become storytellers and story listeners. No one makes any effort about applying those stories. Believe me, these stories will become the hujjat against you on the day of judgment if you don't make an effort to apply those learnings in your lives. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu memorized. What did he memorize? The whole Quran? He memorized Suratul Baqarah. How long is Suratul Baqarah? 2 juz and some more. 2 1/4 or something like this. How long did he take to memorize this surah? 12 years. How long does a normal HIFS student in our madaris, how long does he take to memorize the whole Quran? 2 years. If he takes more than 2 years, the ustads get tired of him. They say, no, this boy has no, his memory is weak and this and that, and they start labeling and blaming. And if he takes more than 3 years, they throw him out. 2 years is our average. For the entire Quran, for 30 juz. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, a close student, one of the most beloved sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one about whom Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that there is nobody among the sahaba who practices Islam, who practices the sunnah, who follows the sunnah, as closely as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyid Aisha radiallahu anha said that among all the sahaba, there is no one who follows the sunnah as closely as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. This person, he is an Arab, he knows Arabic, he understands, highly intelligent person. Why does he take 12 years? So they asked him this question. He said, how did you take 12 years? Why did you take 12 years? He said, our way, meaning what? The way of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhuma. He said, our way was to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and take from him 10 ayat. Those 10 ayat we would memorize, we would learn to read them properly, we would understand their meaning, we would apply them in our lives. If there were any ahkam, any orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contained in those 10 ayat, we would apply those orders in our life. And when we would discuss those ayat, if we had any questions, any doubts, we would go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and clarify all of that. Once all of this was over, then we would go and take from him another 10 ayat. So it took me this long to memorize one surah. So what happened to this way of teaching? Today we have weekend courses, we have daily courses, we have weekly courses. We come out with books and we come out with, reading material. Nothing is wrong with all this. Fine, by all means do that. Have your weekend courses and so on and so forth. But my point is, where is your monitoring system for application of the learning? That is why I teach like this. I teach you one thing, then I say, now discuss that thing. How will you apply it in your lives? What are your takeaways from this? What change will you bring about in your life? I keep saying change, 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 change. Not because I want to irritate you, but because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one day of yours is the same as the previous day, then you have wasted that day. So what is he saying? He's saying change, 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 change. He says every day must be different from the previous day in a positive way. And if that is not so, my yesterday was one way and my today is the same, Remember, we are not even talking about going backwards. Huh? We are not saying today is worse than, no. Yesterday was a good day and today is equally good, then you have wasted one day of your life. 24 hours of your life is wasted because you had the advantage of improving yourself and you didn't do it. So I say this very clearly. If somebody does not like this issue of change, I don't care. I'm not asking for your votes. No problem, don't vote for me. But go change your life. You will thank me when you stand before Allah. Focus on amal because Islam is amal. Focus on action because Islam is action. Islam is a practice. Islam is not a bunch of stories to be told. And then we go home and we say, oh, mashallah, mashallah, great sheikh, beautiful lecture. Sorry, that's not Islam, please. It doesn't matter, great sheikh, no great sheikh, makes no difference. Right? Focus on the amal. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to enable you to work and to implement what we learn in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.